Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. You know, we American Christians tend to think about ourselves a little too much, and we're going to try to break the mold and get out of America and ask the question, what is God doing around the world in reaching lost people for Christ? Specifically, we're going to talk about East Africa today. I want to introduce a missionary that just got back from East Africa, Jake Gillard. Hi, Jake.
Greetings.
Glad to meet you. And you're with the World Mission Prayer League.
I am.
And before we get into all the things we want to talk about regarding world missions, how did you come to know Christ?
Sure. Well, I attended a Lutheran congregation growing up and became especially active in the congregation around confirmation age, and actually became involved in a youth evangelism organization called Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. It's actually an organization that teaches youth witnessing skills. So just a shout out to them, because they really help youth make their faith their own, especially those that have grown up in the church. So for me, I was a young man, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, and going out and talking to people about spiritual matters.
Okay.
And then able to articulate my faith to those that are willing to have those kind of conversations.
Yeah.
And when that happens to a young person, it really does something to your heart.
Solidifies it for you.
Solidifies it for
Amen.
Sure.
So that was you when you were in high school? Or?
Yeah, middle school even.
Okay. And you've been a Christian ever since?
Yes.
And tell me, Jake, you, for 4 years, you and your family served as missionaries in Uganda.
Yes.
And the last 3 months, you just got back from East Africa, mm-hmm. which is South Sudan, or what is East Africa?
Yeah, depending on how you count, it could be 5 or 6, maybe 7 countries. So I think most folks know where Kenya is,
yeah.
right on the coast with the Indian Ocean.
Okay.
And then just west of there, you've got Uganda.
Uh-huh.
And then to the south of Uganda, and even bordering Kenya, is a large inland lake. Do you know what it is? Lake starts with a V.
Victoria,
uh-huh. you've got it. You didn't know this was going to be quiz time, did you?
No.
Okay.
But I won.
Yeah,
you
okay.
won.
What are his prize?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because just quickly so people know,
yeah.
when Sudan was having its horrible problems,
yep.
tell me if I got this right, you had the northern
Sudanese, yep.
the Muslims, persecuting southern Sudan, which was more Christian.
Yes.
And then in what year did that big fight finally stop?
Yeah. It's taken a long time. And
yeah.
so the largely Muslim-based government out of Khartoum and Sudan in the north, in 2005, there was a comprehensive peace accord that was signed.
Okay.
And then it took several years. It wasn't until 2011 that there was actually a referendum in the early part of the year. And it was like 99.9%.
Referendum to form South Sudan a Christian nation.
To succeed.
More Christian.
From Sudan and become its own country.
And that happened.
And that happened. And then by the middle July of 2011, we did celebrate independence. And I was there the day after.
Oh. So has the persecution of Christians gone down since that accord? Because there were so many Christians being killed by Muslims, wasn't it? Or you tell me.
Yes, there were Christians being killed by Muslims. There were Muslims being killed by Muslims. That's what Darfur was, actually.
Mm.
And Darfur is not in present-day South Sudan, but it's in Sudan.
Yeah.
And Sudan at the time was Africa's largest country on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
It no longer is. Since the separation.
And Southern Sudan is more Christian, Northern is more Muslim.
Much more Christian.
Okay.
And so now South Sudan is about the size of Texas. And I don't want to generalize too much, because in a country that size, there is so much going on. There are so many tribes that are at play. And then even after tribes, you got clans and then other alliances, you know, based on political factors. And so it's a messy situation. There's no easy explanation, but I do like the way you're saying it. A nation that would self-identify as Christian in South Sudan.
And this tragedy that you told me of before the cameras,
mm-hmm.
now in South Sudan, the Christian nation, they're fighting Christians against Christians. Tell us what's going on.
Exactly. So December 2013, now that they no longer had, you could say, a common enemy and that Muslim oppressor to the north in Sudan, now in December 2013, brother started fighting brother, Christian brother started fighting Christian brother.
Why?
You know, it's hard to say. There's power involved, geopolitical power. There's other countries involved and pressures from the international community.
Is it mainly tribe and control who's going to run
this country? There's tribe that's involved, Dinka and Nuer. There's oil that's involved.
Okay. So now you've got Christians fighting Christians.
You do.
Oh, my.
You do.
Is the gospel spreading in Uganda and in the southern Sudan?
It is. And even in a place where the world seems to be spinning out of control, these last 3 months that my wife and I were there on a special assignment, January, February, and March, one thing that occurred to us is that the gospel message is even more powerful in those situations
where people suffer.
People are suffering and losing everything.
Yeah. Well, so now Uganda, is that a whole different situation? I mean, you have told me that southern Sudan tends to be even more Christian than America as far as the percentage.
Sure, as far as people self-identifying the percentage.
How about Uganda?
Yes, again, a very Christian country.
Compared to America, even?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, you have to drill down, and what does it mean for someone to be Christian? Even in America, you've got a variety of answers, and in Uganda, you will have that as well.
Similar, then, to South Sudan, or?
Pretty similar. I would say in both countries, there is a large Catholic presence that started early on, but even more than that, a large Anglican presence.
Okay.
And so in Uganda, it's called the Church of Uganda, and it is an Anglican church. Okay. And then in South Sudan, it is ECS, Episcopal Church of Sudan.
All right. The Church of England kind of missionized way back with Dr. Livingston, I presume, 1800s.
Yes.
So the Church of England is big in parts of Africa. But here's my question for you. Church of England is called the Episcopal Church in the United States. It's gone horribly liberal.
Yes.
Where the head bishop, a prior head bishop, didn't believe you needed to preach the gospel because everybody's saved without believing in Christ, according to her. Mm-hmm. Has that liberalism infected the Episcopal churches in Africa?
I'm happy to say, by and large, no. In a word, no.
Good.
Very biblical. Very conservative.
Good.
People, you know, your average Ugandan in some ways will resent those unbiblical values that are being foisted on them when they are foisted upon them. Mm-hmm. I want people to know that the church in East Africa, the church in Uganda, they are self-theologizing. You know, let's give them credit. They can do theology for themselves.
And one of the problems has been is that we evangelicals go over there and kind of make the believers dependent upon us.
Yes.
How does that happen? I mean, we don't want that. We want them to be self-sustaining like we are in America. Mm-hmm. What needs to happen there?
Yeah, dependency is a huge thing. It's something I've studied quite a bit. There are unscrupulous people in every land, in every culture that will take advantage. And, of course, you know, Americans are very, very generous monetarily, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And what even might be like a small amount of money to an American can be an obscene amount of money for an East African. And so an American who travels there, it may be with good intentions on a short-term mission trip, and they just start doling out cash. That kind of wrecks things pretty quickly and could, you know.
And where should they give their cash then? Should they give it to the agency instead of individuals? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. For me, the big thing is we don't want to, you know, tempt good people that could be, you know, otherwise compromised.
Okay.
So when I encourage people about money issues, I say make sure that you're working with an agency that has a full-time presence on the ground.
Okay.
Because these are stewardship dollars. That's holy money. You know, that's God's offering.
What is short-term missions for people that don't know? Explain what that is.
Yeah, short-term missions, it takes many different forms. I think we all know what the long-term career missionary service is, someone who goes usually for 3 or 4 years to start. It used to be 7 to 10 years to start. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'd ship their caskets with them, you know, in anticipation of a death on the field. Mm-hmm. But short-term oftentimes is 10 days, 2 weeks. And something that happens in short-term missions, if you're not careful, is you can get lulled into this this mentality that you're actually doing more than you're doing, and that you're understanding more than you're understanding, and you can actually come back year after year and never learn from your mistakes, because you're just there for a short bite of time. You can make the same mistakes over and over. Mm-hmm. And never learn from them.
So short-term missions is when, like, your church will take 20 people over there for 2 weeks
yeah.
and help build a well or something.
Yep.
And do you see in your ministry, I'm just curious, and maybe this is not a fair question, but what denominations or groups tend to really be reaching the lost for Christ?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are there certain flavors of Christians that really seem to be really reaching people? What do you think?
I'd have to think about that a little more, but I guess my first answer would be, I think a lot of different folks should get the credit. I think just a lot of evangelical churches yeah. are trying to do good work, but even no matter who it is who's over there, I find a lot of times people aren't always so good as we say in the Lutheran Church, dividing law and gospel, and making a distinction between justification and sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of muddling of that.
I heard you speak, and this was interesting. Mm-hmm. You said some of these other denominations mm-hmm. are really good at sanctification, teaching
yes.
holiness and living out the Christian life.
Yes.
But they're not so good at teaching how we're saved, which is by grace alone, through yes. faith alone, in Christ's atonement,
exactly.
not by what we do.
Yes.
And so hopefully the Lutherans are pretty good on that one. That's mm-hmm. kind of the center of Lutheranism. Is that true?
It's true. So the Lutherans have something to offer in a context where people aren't understanding that we are saved by Christ's atonement alone.
What do they have to offer us as far as the East Africa Christians, the Uganda Christians? What can they teach us in the West, do
mm-hmm,
you think?
Mm-hmm. You know, I like where the Apostle Paul talks about the wild branch being grafted in.
Romans 11.
Yes,
yeah. mm-hmm.
yes. And if we look around our churches today, we need a little wildness to reinvigorate that lethargic root or stem, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah,
and
Little life. So they've got a lot of life.
We're too domesticated here.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got a lot of life.
They kind
to
of
share.
Worship rather freely. I mean, they're kind of wild in their worship.
That's one way of putting it. Sure, sure, sure.
Good.
Yeah, the Spirit is there. Let's say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
What else do they offer us, would you say?
They offer us faith when it comes to, you know, there's a different way of living your Christian life when mm-hmm. you have no other options, no other thing to rely upon except God and God alone.
Does it tend to be poor?
By our standards, yes. And when we have conversations, if we go farther than that, we should make a distinction between poverty and abject poverty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so many of our brothers and sisters who are in East Africa can teach us a lot about faith. Because we as Americans, we have a lot of options. You know, we could go anywhere, and if we run into an emergency, we can somehow, by our own strength, bail ourselves out.
Mm-hmm.
But when an East African runs into a health crisis or a schooling crisis for their children, there's oftentimes nowhere else to turn.
Mm-hmm. What about this, Jake? Now that you're back in the States, your job is called mission promotion,
yep.
promoting missions. And let's say that somebody is watching this show. I'm going to give you two questions. Question mm-hmm. number one, and they're thinking, maybe God wants me to be a missionary.
Yeah.
How do they find out if that's true? How do they hash that out?
If someone wants to know if God is calling them to be a missionary,
yeah.
they should talk to other missionaries.
Okay.
Yeah. And in doing so, pray to the Lord of the harvest and talk to God about this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we could probably have some crazy statistic, like 88% of people that go into full-time missionary service do so as a result of speaking with someone who's a missionary in the
field
right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So find a missionary and talk to them.
That's right.
They can call your office, the World Mission Prayer, they can talk to you.
That's right.
And we're going to give that phone number. And you can go ahead and put that on the screen if you like. The World Mission Prayer League
mm-hmm.
is here in the Twin Cities, but anybody, this will be seen all over the country.
Yep.
Anybody can call the World Mission Prayer League or go to WMPL.org. Do we have a phone number? I don't know. There we go. Phone number is 612-871-6843. And talk to him or some missionary.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you the second question.
Mm-hmm.
all right, I don't think the Lord's calling me to be a missionary, but I want to use my wealth, my money, mm-hmm. my time, my talents mm-hmm. to somehow serve missions around the world. Mm-hmm. How do I know if I send my money to this certain place, it's going to go to missions rather than buying somebody a Cadillac? How mm-hmm. do you figure that out?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is the ECFA that you want to look for that designation.
ECFA, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Look for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look for that and then request their annual report. And anyone can call our office at any time and request our previous year's annual reports. We're happy to share those.
Yep. Good.
I can tell people they get a real bang for their buck at the World Mission Prayer League. We have 100 Lutheran missionaries in 20 countries. And we are fielding them basically on about $2.4 million a year.
Wow.
I mean, you do the math.
That's great.
Is a bang for
your
buck.
That is a bang for the buck.
Yeah.
Right.
And that includes, you know, their full-time stipend. We don't exactly call it a salary because it's not guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
But as people send in their money to support those missionaries, we do pass on 100% of those.
So,
and that's benefits and everything.
I would say that the World Mission Prayer League is a great place to send your money. I mean, my belief is you give your tithe to your local church.
Yes.
But you give your offerings. You're above the 10% of your income. You give wherever you want.
Yep.
And World Mission Prayer League is good. I like Samaritan's Purse.
Mm-hmm.
What are other groups? I like International Christians Concerned, mm-hmm. Helping the Persecuted, Voice mm-hmm. of the Martyrs. Any other groups come to your mind?
There are some good water ministries out there.
Okay.
I mean, who can argue with water? I mean, that's a gift for a village. I mean,
that's
a game changer.
Dig wells and such.
Yeah.
And they can find out that through World Mission
Through
Prayer.
Us, yeah. And then I actually like the idea of, there's two different ways of doing it. You can kind of, do a little in a lot of different places, or you can kind of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you need to have some kind of a mix in your portfolio. But if you're already supporting a missionary, maybe ask the missionary that you're supporting, are there any special projects that you'd like to implement?
Sure.
And see.
I like International Christians Concerned. Go to mm-hmm. persecution.org.
Mm-hmm.
When you give to them, they say, do you want to give to the Suffering Wife and Children Fund?
Yes.
Do you want to give to the Underground Pastors Fund?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go to the Radio Fund that mm-hmm. broadcasts into Islamic countries that won't permit the gospel, but they can't stop the radio show from coming in?
They cannot.
So, and I like to pick and choose. So,
yeah.
Good. All right. And, you know, let's just talk about what is the life of a missionary like?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, if you're a woman, you put your hair in a bun and you live in a hut and you just, what's the life? You've done it
mm-hmm.
for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do for 4 years in Uganda?
Yeah.
What was your job?
Yeah. So for me, I focused on theological education. There were 24 men that were assigned to me. These men aspired to be evangelists and pastors in a Lutheran church. And so basically, they couldn't go to the seminary, so I was, in a way, a seminary on wheels.
Gotcha.
And brought theological education to them in a format that's now widely known in these recent decades as TEE, theological education by extension.
Okay.
So it's distance learning, basically.
Okay. And so you train the nationals,
mm-hmm.
and they're the pastors.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I was like a big circuit rider.
Okay. Yeah.
I was equipping the saints,
okay.
equipping those who were leading. Yeah.
All right. So you can be a missionary and just be a mechanic, can't you?
You can be a mechanic. You can be a pilot. Teacher teaching
okay.
missionary kids, or
uh-huh.
teaching in missionary schools that teach
yeah.
national children. You can. Medical missions is still huge.
Yeah. So no matter what your job is, somehow you can find a spot if God's calling you to world missions.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Jake. What if somebody said, but why don't you missionaries just leave these people alone? They have their own religion.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you insist on colonizing them to
mm-hmm.
Lutheranism or something?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting conversation to have. I know a lot of times you can look and find lots of examples of mistakes where missionaries have brought too much of the culture along
mm-hmm.
with the gospel message.
So it can happen.
And,
yeah.
and we can be honest about that. Say, yeah, it happens at times. But actually, the goal is that we do bring biblical Christianity to these dear brothers and sisters in Christ that are requesting various things. In some ways, we need to work hard and work through the cross-cultural communication, because anytime you're communicating cross-culturally, there's going to be some barriers that you're working through to find out exactly what their desires are and how we can help them, meet their goals. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes that is a missionary medical hospital or clinic. And sometimes that is a missionary school. Sometimes that is agriculture consultancy, and sometimes it's seminary and theological education.
Do you, you know, what I have heard from a missionary in the past was, for a missionary, the biggest headache can be getting along with other missionaries.
Yes.
What are some of the difficulties of being a missionary?
Yeah. Well, you've got cultural things and just what I like to call hassles that go along with living, you know, in a place where you didn't grow up, a foreign country.
Yeah.
And so my frame of reference is East Africa so much and the developing world. But we've got missionaries in Hong Kong, you know, that aren't inconvenienced, so to speak, when it comes to the modern conveniences that we talk about here.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not dealing with where to source their water or, you know, things like that. So for someone who's working maybe in East Africa, I could say, yeah, it is still those things about where to source your potable water and where to get good medical care when you need it and getting around, and visas, and dealing with governments. I'm hearing so many times now, our missionaries, we've always had to deal with these visas and work permits, but it's getting trickier.
So, day-to-day headaches. What about this, Jake? Mm-hmm. Are there cults involved in East Africa?
There are.
Which cults?
Jehovah's Witnesses, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,
Mormons. Okay.
Yeah.
And do they have a big impact? Are they smaller than the evangelicals?
Thankfully, they are smaller.
Okay.
I think people, you know, let's face it, even though maybe not a lot of Ugandans are members of the Anglican Church anymore, maybe their grandparents were, but now they have gone to other churches. The Anglican Church did a fairly good job of
teaching the
faith, and people can read their Bibles. The Bible societies have been there in East Africa for a while. There's still more work to do, and we're still translating.
Is there much animism, meaning worship of the spirits and kind of superstitious stuff? Does that go on a lot in your part of Africa?
Yes, but this is something that even East Africans may not want to talk about so much.
Okay.
We may not want to publicize so much. We need to be respectful in how we talk about this because they're frankly and sometimes embarrassed. It is tempting. You know, each culture has its own temptations to fall into sin and fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And without going into what ours are in North America, we can say that in East Africa, someone who is a Christian may still be tempted in a time of trial to fall back into what we call African traditional religion, or ATR. And that's basically this animism, what you might associate with a witch doctor or something like that.
I see.
And they still use that term, witch doctor.
Okay.
So it is there.
All right.
It is there.
What about this? Do you see demon possession more over there? Have you had to deal with that, the demonic?
I don't know that I see it more there, but we do see it, and it is fairly obvious.
Yeah, okay. Do the different denominations over there tend to work together, or do they say, look, the Episcopalians will take this city, Lutherans will try over here, or how does that work?
It's not exactly split up into those regions, but I can tell you, just being with people on the street and my students, Christians of all flavors mingle well together.
They do.
And it's probably a pleasing palate to the Lord when these brothers dwell in unity.
I agree. Now, the liberalism that is killing the liberal mainline Protestant denominations, I mean, United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church in America, ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, their numbers are just shrinking because those churches tend to be very liberal. Mm-hmm. Everybody's saved, according to some of the pastors. You don't need to believe in Christ, and, you know, homosexuality, abortion, that's okay, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Has that kind of teaching invaded the churches overseas?
Not so much. In fact, when these liberal denominations have tried to force it upon them, even, you know, through, you know, threats to withhold funds and whatnot, thankfully, so many African churches have stood up for themselves and for Christ's gospel and said, you know what, we don't really need that. We can do just fine without you.
I saw a liberal Lutheran missionary, ELCA, and her basic point was, I don't go over there. My job is not to convert anybody.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to listen. Well, and you know, it was pretty obvious. I thought that she didn't think people needed to be converted. Mm-hmm. Do you run into missionaries like that? Are they pretty few and far between?
I would say they're few and far between.
Good.
There's almost an irrelevance there with that kind of a mentality.
Why go overseas?
Why go overseas?
Why go if you're just going to listen?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, Africans, East Africans, we need each other, and we want these relationships. We have this term, we say, sharing experiences, and it's basically fellowship. Mm-hmm. And,
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, Jake, we've only got like a minute and a half left. If people want more information about how to support these missionaries or how to be a missionary, you can go to your website, which is WMPL.org, and your phone number one more time.
612-871-6843.
Okay.
6843.
Great. And everybody, just thank you, Jake, so much for being with us.
God bless you.
We want to ask you, we just got a minute here, but pray for missions. I've got one day a week, I've got my list, often I'll pray through my mission list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe call World Mission Prayer League, or this is from the International Christian Concern, little daily devotional where you read it and you pray for people and stuff. So just every Christian needs to be involved in world missions. The last words of Jesus on earth were, "Go ye therefore and disciple the nations." So we need to do that. And if I could just plug our mission here, the Pastor's Study is funded by just you. We're also a very shoestring operation, and your money that you send to this mission does not go to get me a Cadillac. we're here just to preach the gospel. The more money come in, the more we add stations around the country. So if you'd be praying for our ministry, we'd appreciate it. You can support us at pastorstudy.org, or there'll be a address coming up if God leads you to support us. But also support the World Mission Prayer League. They do a wonderful work. And everybody, we'll see you next time here on this channel for the Pastor Study. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.